Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids.
Welcome to the new episode of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Carissa Stoner, and Carissa has been a student for about a year and some change. And she recently made some big transitions in her life. And, you know, she's practicing here with us at Adishtami Yoga Columbus. And, you know, she has a really compelling story to tell about, like, her journey and where she came from and, you know, Pennsylvania and all of that stuff. And so I'm excited to have her on the show. You know, the real thing that I noticed the first time that I met you was really that, you know, you're part of this crew. You know, you were at the Great Lakes Ashtanga Yoga Center or whatever, Mark's place up in Cleveland or whatever. And, you know, I immediately was like giving you a hard time. I gave you a hard time. And so, you know, I could immediately like figure out that the practice like meant a lot to you, and like, and also that you were trying really hard, and that also didn't come easy to you either. And so we'll get to talk about all of those things, but I really appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's just get a little bit of background information for like the listeners. Where are you from? Well, you know, what, tell us a little bit about like where you came from.
So I'm originally from South Central Pennsylvania. I like born and raised there. I just recently relocated to Columbus. I started my practice. I've known about Ashtanga for like 2 years. I've been like seriously like a student for like a year. I'm a nurse by trade, and I'm excited that like the transitions in life have like brought me to a different place. And that I'm here where I am now.
So tell us a little bit about just like the early kind of, who was Carissa like in high school?
Oh man.
Seriously. I mean, you're not super old.
No.
And so it's not that long ago.
Yeah. Not that, like less than 10 years.
Yeah. Unlike myself. But yeah, but tell us a little bit about how you kind of fit in with like the high school crew.
Oh, okay. So I was an athlete. I played soccer. I've been playing since I was like 4. So mostly just super involved in sports, until like my senior year when I, like gave up sports to like have a job.
Okay.
Like,
what
so that
kind of job though?
I worked at a pizza shop.
Okay.
And I also worked at a nursing home. So, I wanted a job so that I could save up money so that I could go to college. Cause that's like what you do.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I was like, in like advanced classes and like pretty smart, I guess. And
advanced classes in
like,
high school?
Yeah, like AP classes and okay. Stuff like that. So I guess like I liked learning and I liked school until my senior year. And then like I was like kind of bored.
Yeah.
So I didn't really care anymore.
Were you part of like the jocks crew because you were like soccer or did you
yeah,
play with everyone?
I kind of like melted with everybody. A lot of like, I guess like kind of geeky people or like nerdy people, but also like athletes as well.
Yeah. Were you good at soccer?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean,
what position?
I was like defensive, like I was the sweeper. So,
okay.
So right before like you get to the goalie, like I was like the last line of defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed playing soccer. I don't enjoy playing soccer now that I do yoga.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, my hamstrings.
Hips and hamstrings.
It's
and
awful.
Knees.
It's
yeah.
awful. It's the worst.
I guess it was high school soccer girls, and man, I tell you, they were so tight. And
yeah.
A lot of them have been so hurt. I mean,
yeah.
One of them had reconstructive knee surgery.
It's bad.
Like
it's rough.
Yeah,
but
I love it. They really do a number on their legs.
Yeah. 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 Still working those kinks out now.
Yeah.
Forever.
We'll get to that. And so, did you go to college?
Okay. Yeah, but.
Okay. Tell us the but.
So I went to like a local, like Penn State.
Okay.
Had like a satellite campus, like in the town next to mine. So I was like, I'll go there. This is great. I'm going to go for physical therapy. This is going to be great. This is what I want to do. I failed, like, miserably.
Wow. I thought you said you were good at school.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I was like, yeah, like, I'm a gifted student. Like, I was in AP classes. Like, I'm a smart person. But I had met my now ex at that time, like, in that transition, like, between the summer after I graduated until the fall of, like, starting college. It was, like, super wrapped up in, like, exciting, like, relationship. So it was, like, really distracted, for one. And also, like, coming off some, like, friendships that were not so great. I met some people. I met some people in my senior year that kind of set me up for failure. I was, like, drinking a lot and, like, kind of just, like, binging. Whew.
And so these people that you fell in with, like, they were, like, partners or something?
I mean, yeah, like, I don't even know, like, it. I was literally sitting in English class, and this new kid, I was, like, friendly. So, like, I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And we ended up being, like, really good friends, but, I mean, all we did was, like, drink or do drugs together.
Yeah.
So I was, like, in this, like, not good place to, like, yeah, like, go to college, start your career. So I was coming off of that, but had, like, quit doing those things for this ex. And, like, I kind of quit, but, like, I kind of didn't. Like, yeah. I told him how to quit, but, like, I didn't.
You were doing it behind his back?
Or? Yeah. Okay. For a while. Eventually, like, I did stop for a bit. At least the drugs. Like, I was making, like, really horrible decisions.
Yeah.
Like.
But, I mean, you were young.
Yeah.
So you still give yourself a hard time about those decisions?
I mean, yeah, not, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, I mean, what if I did go to college? Like, what if I did graduate the first time? I wasted a lot of money and a lot of time. And
yeah.
So, yeah. So.
Aren't you happy where you're at right now?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, so, isn't this exactly?
This is what mistakes are for.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Like, I look at my story, and it's like, tragic. You know, most of the people, like, who read my book are like, you know, this is terrible. No one should have to live like this. I mean, we start a foundation to, you know, to help people so that they don't have to live like that. But I wouldn't change any of it. So, would you go back and change it?
I mean, I guess not. No, I wouldn't. Because who knows, like, what the course would have been. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I obviously learned a lot, but I didn't learn a lot then. It took me till, like, I guess now to, like,
you barely ever learn, like, a lesson when you're, like, in the middle
right.
of something. It's always looking back that you're like, oh yeah, I'm stronger, I'm better off, or yeah, this is exactly what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Any regret?
Yeah, I mean, for some things, yeah, for sure. Like, just, like, reckless behavior or, like.
Tell me what reckless behavior looks like.
I mean, like,
my reckless behavior is like spending my entire bank account, going bankrupt, and putting needles in my arms 30 times a day, like living at a crack house. That's what reckless behavior looks like to me. So tell me what your reckless behavior looks like so that the listeners can understand, like, where you're coming from.
I mean, I lied to my parents a lot, like, all the time. Like, we just now have, like, a more honest, like, relationship. So I lied to my parents a lot so that I could get drunk and be hungover. And
I mean, everyone lies to their parents.
Yeah.
Why does it bother you, though?
I mean, like, stealing stuff from them, like money or pills or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, like, it's not who I am as a person. Like, and I still, like, I'm like, why did I do that? Like, and I'm still figuring that out.
I mean, that's kind of like what addiction looks like. You do things that are outside of your moral compass and
yeah.
You know that you're better.
Well, yeah, especially, like, I mean, my dad works for a church. Like, that's not, like, I was, like, not heavily, I mean, I was pretty involved, like, in the church when I was growing up, like, as a teenager. Like, I sung for the church, like, performed in ministry and stuff like that. And then, like, on the weekends would be, like, hungover, but I had food poisoning. Like,
yeah.
It's so.
But is church really for like the righteous? You know.
I mean, right. I mean,
isn't it actually for the people like who you're?
But that's not like what. I mean, I guess that's what had been instilled in me, but not really. Like,
I mean, but it's the difference between like someone basically saying like, you know, addiction or those sort of behaviors is like a moral thing.
Yeah.
And the difference between saying like, you know, this is like a disease thing that, you know, is like a sickness and like my family, like it runs in my family, like, you know, mom's dad and stuff right. like that. And so it's just, it's like the argument, it's like right now, it's like you're in morality, you know, it's like, and you can't, I mean, in my opinion, the reason why churches have suffered is because everyone thinks they're holier than thou. And really, for the person that is really suffering is the person who, you know, Christ or whatever church that you go to, like, is, you know, it's redemption. It's like those things that, you know, it's like for that person.
Right.
It's not for all of life. They're not a bunch of healthy people hanging out, you know, like singing.
But I think that's like the appearance or the expectation that was like conditioned into me. Right. Like, oh yeah, we go to church, we're good
people.
You're
supposed to act and be better.
But that was like not the case for me. Yeah. So
you felt like during those years, like you were kind of outside of alignment with like what you've been taught as a kid.
Yeah, but I was also like still selfish enough to like do it. Like,
totally.
Like I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do this, then I'm gonna like go to church, and then I'm gonna like do this again. And like, I just kind of went through the motions.
Yeah.
Basically, to keep my parents happy. I mean, mostly.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, like, you're in this relationship with this new guy, and you're kind of hiding it behind his back. Like, tell us what the whole relationship kind of looked like.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, strong, and it was quick, and it was, like, the first, like, real relationship I had ever been in. I dated a little bit in high school, but, like, not really. But we became like quickly, like heavily involved in each other's lives and our families as well. And he, like his family is also very, I'll say like churchy as well. So I had to like keep up the appearance for like that. I had mostly like tapered down. I was just like smoking weed, but it was still like an issue.
Right. It's hard to not smell like weed when you start to smoke.
I mean, that is very true.
I did say you'd sit down in the chairs like on Sunday, and would you smell like weed or not?
No. No, I can get it together.
Oh, you can get it together.
Yeah, I can get it together.
Sunday is the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not going to do this.
Like, I'm going to make a good choice, at least for now, at least this morning.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so tell me what happened after that. Let's keep going on the story.
So, I mean, I eventually like quit everything. I mean,
drugs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I quit taking pills. I wasn't like super, super heavy into it. Like, I guess I got out before it. My mom was in an accident. And so she had like pain pills, like, all the time.
Yeah.
So like my friends would be like, hey Carissa, like, can you do this? I'm like, hey Carissa, can you do this? I'm like, yeah, like, so I'd take a couple at a time and take some for myself, give some to my friends, sell some to my friends. Like it was fine. It was
entrepreneurship.
I mean, I'm an independent woman. So anyway, I like quit that when like I got into this relationship and my friends were like, oh, like Carissa, stop and talking to us for this boy. Like gave me a hard time. But those like relationships kind of fell by the wayside like pretty easily, like without issue.
Yeah.
So then he and I are like in love and we're just living the dream and it's great, but it's like actually not great. Yeah,
what's the dream look like?
I don't know. He was a year younger than me in school. So I was in college and then failed out of college. So then I went and did like a nursing assistant. Mm-hmm. So it's like a really quick program. Got my nursing assistant. And was like working, saving money to go back to school to be an LPN, which is like a year program.
Right.
So I'm working hard. I'm like studying. He's like in school as well. We're like working towards these goals of like him being a police officer and me being a nurse and us being like having like the American dream, like a nurse and a cop. Like it doesn't get any better than that. But like, it like behind the scenes was like not great. Like,
how was it not great?
It was super controlling, super manipulative, super like, I had to many times like choose him over family or else there was going to be like a big fight. Mm-hmm. So I get out of high school, I have no control over my life because I'm like drinking or doing drugs or both or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I like stop that to like still not have control over my life.
Yeah. I mean, so how did you, I mean, you know, you got this, you kind of clean up your act and you're with this guy. Like, how did you fail out of college? Like, you know, because you were so distracted?
I was so distracted. Like, it would be like, basically, when do you get done school? Come to my house, basically. Like, come hang out. Like, when realistically, like, I should have been studying. And, like,
right.
So I didn't study, so I didn't, like, fare well on tests. And, like, it just, like, and then I was like, well, this, like, sucks. So I also don't think it was, like, the best style of learning for me. Like, I'm smart, but I need, like, a different kind of learning. And I learned that, like, later on when I went to, like, tech school. Like, yeah. That was, like, trade school was great for me. So, yeah, I was just, like, super distracted. He was super, like, do this, do it now. Like, this is what a relationship is. Like, this is... And because it was, like, the first real relationship I had ever been in...
didn't have any context with
it. Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, this is, like, we're in love. Like, this is great.
This is what it's all about.
It's going to get so much better, too. Like, we're going to live the dream. Like, that's what we're going to do. So... Yeah, I was super distracted, and so I went a semester, and then, like, just dropped out, failed out. Like, I was failing all my classes, and, like, so I wasted, like, money that, like, I could have, like, had something to show for that.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, now I'm, like, in a not great relationship. My parents are, like, hey, this is, like, not a great relationship, and I'm, like, no, it's great. We're awesome, and I'm gonna prove you wrong. Like,
yeah.
So I stayed in it, like, basically just to be, like...
In spite of them.
Yeah, like, just... I mean, I don't want to say they had controlled my life, but they had, like, brought me up in the way that they did, and I was always kind of rebellious. And so now they're like, well, this is what's going on. I'm like, well, I'm an adult. I was, like, 20.
Yeah, 20 is not an adult.
Like...
I mean, even though, like, legally, like, you're an adult.
Right. I was like, I can make my own decisions. Like, we're staying together, and this is going to be great. Like... Those red flags that even they saw, like, sure. I should have.
Because he was controlling or because, like, just the behaviors? Or...
Yeah, like, the way that he would, like, talk to me, like, in front of, like, them, like, it was, like, super ballsy. Like, I mean, I still have friends to this day be like, do you remember that? Like, he really actually spoke to you, like, spoke to another human like that. But I guess, like, I don't know, like... Yeah. Blinded by love or whatever. Like, I realized, like, now, I'm like, that was not love at all. Like,
right. So
we're together, and at this point, I'm like, we're, like, in age, like, I'm almost two years older than him. So I'm like, I'm kind of itching, like, oh, I kind of want to get married. Like, this is going to, like, this will make it better. Like, right. This will solve our problems.
You dial it up a bit, and it will definitely get better.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, if we're, like, living together, like, that will, like, make things better. And so, like, we get engaged, and the wedding planning process was the most traumatic experience of my life. It was horrible. It was awful. it wasn't even about me anymore. It wasn't about love. It wasn't about me. It was, like, what everybody else wanted. And, like...
Or what he wanted?
Yeah. Like, what he wanted, or, like, I was doing it wrong, or... Well, why didn't you do this? Well, you want to save money so that we can go on a nice honeymoon, right? And I'm just like, I mean, I guess. Like, at this point, I don't know what I want because I had no control. Like, I had zero control. So.
Were you drinking or using it at all during this
break? I was drinking. Okay. Not using. Smoking weed occasionally, but, like, I, like, was mostly just drinking. But that was, like, we always thought about that, too. Like, and I, like, looking back on it, like, where I am now, I'd be like, Crystal, like, why do you always have to have a drink? And I'm like, oh, wait, like, you know. Now I'm like, oh, because I'm an alcoholic, like, that's why. Like, do you really need a drink with dinner, Crystal? Like, yes.
Yeah,
like,
of course I do.
Like, I need several.
Someone said the other day, like, if I could drink like a normal person, I'd drink every day. And I was like, Yeah, that's yeah. I was always trying to shoot for a normal person, but I'm not normal.
Right,
yeah.
There's like no normal here.
Yeah. Like one person has like a wine at dinner and they leave a little bit of wine. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with that person?
Right.
They like spent $7 on that.
Wasteful. Like, that is the nectar of the gods. Yeah. Like,
right.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think. I was living, I have moved so many times. I'm like, where was I living at this point? So I moved out of my parents' house to get freedom, but it wasn't to get freedom. It was because my parents wouldn't let me have a dog, and he wanted a dog.
Yeah.
But he couldn't have it in his house. So Chris said, hey, you move so that we can have a dog. What in the fuck was wrong with me? Like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
So I moved, and I was living with my aunt.
But, I mean, you know, like, there's probably nothing wrong with you. You know, the fact of the matter is like, you're so close to the fire, like, you don't even know.
Yeah.
The real question is like, not what's wrong with you. It's just, like, when's enough enough? You know, like, and you might have, like, little moments of clarity, because I've had relationships like this, where you have moments of clarity, and you're like, oh, yeah, this doesn't feel good anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, why did I continue to put up with it? Especially,
yeah.
Like, if life is supposed to give you, like, kind of the best, if you're supposed to have, you know, the best of what life has to offer, like, why do you end up settle for something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just, like, I was just stuck, I think. Like,
yeah.
I was just stuck. So we're engaged. I'm living with my aunt, but I'm getting ready to move because we're getting ready to get married. It's like January or whatever. So I move to Maryland because that's where he is now, a police officer. Because, you know, we're living the dream. Like, what is wrong with me? But looking back again, he was like, Chris, like, you need to get a job. And, like, in order to get a job as a nurse, you gotta, like, transfer license. And
right.
There's, like...
It's a pain.
Yeah. And I, like, intuition or gut or something, I never transferred my license. I was like, he can support me when I live down there, and I'll get it eventually. And so, I mean, thank God I didn't, because obviously I don't live there now.
Right.
But, so, I move, I'm getting ready to get married, and it's, like, miserable, and I'm literally coming home every weekend, or like he would work 4 days on and 4 days off. And so every 4 days that he was on work, like, I would be like, I'm going to Pennsylvania, because I was literally miserable. Like,
right.
It was, I was doing everything. Like, I was like super unappreciated. It was just like, I was miserable.
Yeah.
So through this like process, I had become super close friends with the wedding photographers. Like, they were helping me like create ideas and like build stuff for the wedding. And like, I had become super close with them, and they probably ended up knowing more about me than anyone else.
Yeah.
And so one day I'm like sitting in the attic, with my friend, and she's like, hey, like, are you okay with like where your life is going? Like, are you okay? And I like just like started sobbing, because I was like, no, I'm not. Like, I can't do this anymore. But in my head, I had like manipulated my answers so many times for people, like making excuses for him, or like, oh, well, he's having a bad day. Like, that's why he's treating me like shit. Like I had just done it so many times. So I'm like dancing around the fact that like, I'm not okay, by saying that I am okay.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is fine. Like, it's okay. And this is all after, like, this big, like, his mom had added a bunch of people to the wedding list, and, like, money was becoming an issue, and he wanted this wedding band, and it was X amount of money, but he also didn't want to pay for it. And it was just, like,
yeah.
Just a cluster.
Right.
Like, just a cluster. So we're having this conversation, and I'm like, I mean, yeah, it's fine, but I'm, like, also sobbing, and I was, like, I don't know if I'm okay. Like, I don't think I am. I had, like, been emotionally and verbally abused for, like, I mean, it was going on 6 years now, and here I am supposed to get married, like, in a matter of months. And I had started Ashtanga with Kristen probably 6 months before that. Like, she was, like, hey, come try this out. And I was, like, okay. So I, like, had dabbled a little. I wouldn't have called me a practitioner then. Like, I just did it. And I liked the way that it made me feel. And so I did it occasionally or when I had time. And it kind of helped me, like, realize that I was, like, kind of strong. Like, And so as we're like having this conversation, I was like, wait, like I actually like don't have to settle. Like this is okay. So I'm not stuck forever.
Right.
I mean, I could have been like totally could have been stuck forever or like with like a massive amount of like divorce costs or whatever. Right, cause that, and it would have gotten worse. Like marriage, like, oh, it's going to fix everything. But like, it would have just gotten way worse.
Right.
So, I decided to like have a talk with my pastor, and like to the outside world, everything looked okay because I had lied or made excuses or like just covered up everything that had happened for the past 5 years.
Right.
And so everyone was like, wait, what? You're unhappy? Like, I mean,
what'd your pastor say?
He was just like, okay, well, we'll have a meeting. And he's like, do you really think he's going to be like taken aback by like what you're going to say? And I was like, I know, absolutely. He's like going to be the victim here. Like, right, that's how this is going to go. So
is that how it happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
You like, guys had a meeting?
Because we had to go through premarital counseling in order for this pastor to marry us.
Of course.
It was like my home church. So like we like had to fill out this survey, and like, I'm like, oh my God, this is awful. This is awful. So we like sit down and have this meeting, and like, this is after like pretty much crying all weekend. Cause I'm like,
cause you knew it was over.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, when like it just like sits in your chest and it's like, it's just like gross. And this is what it's like. It's like when you have the stomach flu and you know, you need to throw up, but you don't want to throw up because throwing up sucks.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Wow. For like days.
Whoa. I mean, that's like, I don't get the stomach flu very often, but when I have had it, it's like, if you're comparing that experience to that, I get it.
Yeah. So that's kind of like what it felt like. Like I knew that I needed to like come over the crest of it, but I knew that it was going to suck. Like,
yeah.
So we have this like meeting or whatever, and my pastor decides that like, hey, like take a week off from like seeing each other, talking or whatever. So we don't talk, but we don't talk for like 12 hours. And he's like blowing up my phone, like text after text, like, what is wrong with you? And why would you say that about me? If you had concerns, we should have been in counseling years ago. And I'm just like, I did this wrong again. This is my fault again. Okay. I see. So
did
like,
you even have the second meeting?
Wait, just slow your roll, man. Mm-hmm. So it like 2 days go by. Yeah. Cause we met on a Friday, and I'm trying to think. Yeah. And by Sunday morning I was getting ready for church and my phone rings. Tyler and I were going to meet up that next Monday or Tuesday and, talk and whatever, decide what we were going to do. If we were going to work on things, if we were going to not. And in my head, I like knew even before I went into the meeting with the pastor, like what I was going to do. And so he's like, if this isn't going to work, or if we're not even going to like work out, like why are we even meeting? And I was like, what? Like, he was like, just give your ring to my mom.
That's all he said?
That's literally what happened. Like,
and you didn't even have the second meeting.
Listen, since that day, I have never seen him to this day.
Wow.
Like never. Like we had a brief interaction, not even in real, like via text message or whatever.
Right.
In order for like him to get his ring back, and like our moms had to meet up because he like couldn't handle it. And like it was ugly. And then I just like never, I don't want to say that I never had closure, but I kind of never had closure. Like we never got to be like, yeah, like this is it, and like, I mean, you're an awful human, and like, why do you treat me like shit for the past 6 years? Like,
yeah, but also, I mean, you know, and this is not me defending him, but like, you didn't know how you wanted to be treated until you were treated bad.
Yeah,
you know, like, I mean, that's a really hard lesson to learn.
Oh my gosh, had,
like with like girlfriends before, where it's like, oh yeah, I didn't know that someone else could treat me like this. And it took a while to realize that this is not normal. And then all of a sudden I realized that it's not. And it's like, I don't even need closure. It's like, I just need you away from me.
Right. And I, like, genuinely, that was my normal. Like, being manipulated and, like, feeling like I was, like, a nuisance and, like constantly, like, in the way or, like, ruining someone's, like, time or not being not being at where I needed to be soon enough. Like, I just thought that that was normal. I thought that's like what you did.
Yeah.
And then I realized like, oh, I shouldn't really have to live that way.
No.
And so I didn't. And yeah, so it never, I mean, I've never seen him since.
Holy crap. Thanks for being brave and sharing that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also like, you know, maybe the, you know, the strength that you just shared can help one of the people that are listening who feels
yeah.
like their relationship isn't as good as what it should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we're worth so much more than like sometimes we're treated.
Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit because like during the story you said like you started doing mm-hmm. yoga. And so tell me like what was your first experience like with yoga, like especially during that traumatic
yeah.
time? Did it give you more clarity or what did it give?
I won't say it like it didn't like hit me right away. Like
how long did it take?
I mean it took a while. Like it felt good and I knew it was something that I needed to have in my life, but I mean, Ashtanga takes like a lot of dedication, like yeah. a lot of discipline.
I mean, you're dedicated to drinking and using.
That's so much like more fun and easier. Like, yeah. So I started it in about like, I think it was like September of like 6 months before. I called my wedding off like 3 weeks before the wedding. Plot twist. So like about 6 months prior to that was when I started, and I would say I was practicing maybe 3 times a week, like yeah. maybe. And
was it hard for you?
Oh my gosh, it was.
Why was it hard? Tell me.
I mean, I was like in bad shape. Like I had went through nursing school. I was a nurse, so I was a few pounds heavier than I am now. I was yeah. also drinking a lot, so I was like just bigger.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really done any like anything athletic since I was probably like 18. So I was now like 22. Yeah. So I hadn't really had a lot of like
physical exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like super hard. And now that like my viewpoints of like physical pain are like different, I'm like, oh, I was probably just like, you know, going through a traumatic experience and that's why it was hard.
Like, yeah, yeah. It was more like emotional body, like
yeah.
physical body hurt.
Yeah. Like my physical body didn't really, I mean, it was endurance that was hard at first because like, I mean, sun salutations are hard.
I know. They're the hardest.
They're thing. So hard.
Actually, so most of the reason why I don't want to practice on whatever given days is because of sun salutations, Uddita Hasta, Bhargavastasana, Purva Tanasana.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, like, or Navasana too. It's like, Navasana. I don't want to do any of those. I'm
like, no.
I could do everything else.
Let's just skip the hard parts.
Let's skip the hard parts, yeah.
Yeah. See, I was practicing, like, Kristen had, like, a little mini Mysore thing. I would go in the afternoons, and we would hang out, and she would just kind of, like, teach me and share, and then I would practice at home a little bit, but mostly just with her. And so, it just worked. I never thought that, like, yoga, like, Carissa and yoga, like, no. Because, like, for one, yoga is thought of as, like, graceful and, like, strong. And, like, at that point in my life, I didn't feel graceful or strong or beautiful. Like, I didn't feel, like, a graceful person. Like right. I didn't feel like yoga was like a thing, but it like fell into my life. I'm so glad it did, because like I attribute that and like friendships like kind of calling me out, like right. to like,
because it was giving you clarity, because like it was kind of holding the mirror up.
Yeah, like it made me, I mean, it was something that I like I had to like deal with things when I was like on my mat. Like not super heavy things, but like a little bit. And I think that's why like at the beginning it took me a long time to like get into it, because like you kind of run at first, at least for me. Like you don't, I was like, I can't do this all the time. Like
yeah.
this makes me feel this way. Like I can't do it all the time. It does make me feel really good, but it also makes me feel kind of bad.
I mean, sometimes it's the reason why people, I mean, what you're describing is the reason why people don't like stick around. They bolt out of it.
It's hard. Yeah. Like physically and mentally.
And like, then you add on like having a teacher like stand there and watch it. It's like, oh yeah, they are seeing everything that you see, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Or everything that you feel, maybe is another way to put it. So
yeah. So I mean And I used to like when I was in that relationship, like I didn't really like I was unable to like make time for it because like he had other things for me to do. You know what I mean? So when I, like, left that and was able to, like, then I was able to like get even more into it. Like, yeah. Oh, I can like do this a lot more often, and I can invest a little bit more time and space. And I mean, it's part of what like saved me after that. Like it was dark when I was in it, and it was like even darker when I was like trying to climb out of this hole. Like, yeah. It was just really hard.
Like, well, I mean, it sounds like pretty traumatic, and then to have yoga come in. I mean, it definitely shows you how deep down in the quicksand you are.
Yeah, like just yeah. buried.
So what was like, you know, when you got done practicing, like during those periods, like did you feel good or did you feel bad? Or you know, like why did you keep coming back, I guess is the...
I mean, I felt good. It's hard because like you feel good, but you feel bad. Like...
There's a duality there.
There's like a balance there of like feeling like crap, but also like I just did that and I did it maybe more or better or stronger than I did the day before. And like you're just able to like see that progress like because of the sequence, because of like the series. Like I think when I first started, I don't know what I was like at, but I mean,
like a pose, you mean?
Yeah, but I was just like there. Like I was just like, okay, this is fine. And that, but then the next day, like you get it a little deeper or your forward fold. Like there's always like little things you can feel deeper and better.
Yeah.
And so I kept coming back, and then I was living with friends at this point. So Kristen invited me to like, she's like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, I don't know, nothing. She's like, want to go to Ohio to meet Taylor Hunt? And I was like, I guess. So we like drive 5 hours to like Geneva, Ohio, like on the lake, and I'm like super scared because I don't know if I had been practicing. I mean, only 3 days a week or something like that. So I felt like super weak when I got there, and I was like doing it, and you were like super sassy. You were like, lift your leg. Like, why are you dancing? What are you doing? What are you waiting for? And I was just like, dude. But I think I gave it back. I think there were a lot of eye rolls that weekend.
Yeah, there's a full body eye rolls. Throwing hands up. Like, I'm trying the hardest I can.
Like, this is hard.
Right. Yeah, I definitely gave you a hard time. Like I mentioned, it was just like I don't know, it was just a thing. It was like you needed someone to be like, you can freaking own this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not really about me. It was really about like just what I thought, like I saw.
Yeah, and it was like kind of what I needed. It was like 6 months after all that like stuff had happened, and I needed to like do something right or be able to like accomplish something or feel like something was being completed. And then that was when I was like hooked. I was like,
that.
Yeah, like there was like no going back. Like from then on, I've been mostly practicing 6 days a week.
Yeah. Why do you practice? Like, what's the big why?
Oh my gosh. I have. Like, I can't not practice.
Because why? Explain it to the listener and tell them why you cannot practice. Like why you could not practice.
I mean, I would go back into the quicksand if I didn't practice. Like, probably pretty rapidly. Like, I can tell, even if it's, like, a scheduled rest day or, like, a moon day, sometimes I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, oh, wait, you didn't practice today. Like, you need to practice, Carissa. Like, that's the thing that needs to happen. Yeah, like, it keeps me, I mean, mentally it has helped tremendously with, like, anxiety and depression. And, like, I mean, I attribute, like, some of my sobriety to, like, my yoga mat. Like, right. I can get stuff out there that I maybe would want to drown in another way.
Right.
So, yeah, like, I have to. Like, I mean, sometimes it's really hard, and like you'll look at me and say, "Why don't you want to be here today?" And I'm just like,
"I know." You walk in and you got the face, and then I'm like, "Well, like, do you not want to be here today? Like, what's the deal?" Like, you know.
Sometimes it's hard.
And sometimes I'm also like, "Why in the hell did you like not you, just like anyone? Like, why in the hell did you show up if like you're going to be in such like a bad mood?"
But it's like better to. I mean, I think it's better to show up and like. Do something.
I mean, I totally agree for 100%, but it's just like, you know, sometimes you gotta just smile and be like, you know, I don't feel like smiling right now, but you know, this is the thing that I'm gonna do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, or, you know, it's like, don't give the eye rolls, you know, like when you're asked a lot of, you know, it's like, and not just you, it's
everybody. Yeah.
You know, this is hard. It's hard work. It's therapy. It's like works on many different levels.
It's so like it's literally like indescribable. Like it's like magical, but it's like I don't it's hard to like explain it unless you do it. But like the best way that I can like I guess I don't know, not sum it up, but like describe it is like it has made me feel like I've come so far, but also that like it's just the beginning.
You still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff has changed in a year, you know, you said a year, but I feel like it's a little longer.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff has changed.
Yeah. It's like this weird, like, oh my gosh, like you used to do that. Oh wait, look at what you did this morning. Or like, and then I'm like, oh wait, like look what you get to do next week. Or like, it's just, it's cool to like be part of the, like to put in the hard work to like feel the transformation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's why I practice. That was the longest answer ever.
Why is Ashtanga yoga work for you? Just because of the sequence, like you mentioned
before, or
is there a particular reason why it kind of drew you in, you feel like?
I don't know, like the community here, especially community in general, like, cause we're on the internet and we're like friends everywhere.
Right.
The community like kind of was like hook, line and sinker for me. I knew that like this worked, on the daily or whatever. And I had also like, I've never done any other type of yoga,
yeah.
But now that I've like tried to, like, I've gone to like some other classes and I'm like,
what?
I mean,
yeah.
Blasphemy.
It took a Heartbreak Kids episode for you to tell me.
It was like on class passes. Like, here, have a free class pass. Come do hot vinyasa.
Oh my god.
I feel
violated, right?
I'm so sorry. But when I was in that class, the guy was like, you practice Ashtanga? And I was like, yes. Like, he's like, I can tell. And I was like, that's weird.
Nah, we can pick it out, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would never want to do anything else. Like, nothing else has like the, I don't want to say holiness, but like it's like still.
You mean holy like as in God, or you mean holy as in like the whole picture?
The whole, no, like holy as in like spirituality. Oh, like God. It's very like when we chant in the morning or like before Lead, I still almost cry like every time. I'm just like, this is so incredible. Like, mm-hmm. This is my life. This is where I'm at. That's where I came from. But like right now, this is like, this is my life. I get to do this. I get to be part of this and like get to move forward with this. And it's like so exciting. Like, yeah. It's incredible.
It's pretty awesome too, because you have the experience of basically like practicing by yourself.
Yeah.
And in a small community. And now you get to practice in a big community. I mean, we have, you know, 100 some people like that.
Yeah.
You know, that are doing classes in a, you know, but anyways, like, what has that transition been like? Is it a lot to be in a by yourself and then all of a sudden like be in the community?
Yeah, it's like completely different. Like at home, you're like, you're your sole source of motivation.
Right.
Like it's you and your mat and that's it. And I think I've been discouraged with myself in here, but I was way more discouraged with myself because I would just like let myself quit or like, well, there's no way I can get this. Like, it's too cold in here. But I mean, like, I'm just really good at making excuses, basically.
I'm good at it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the transition here has been like, I mean, at first it was like, oh my gosh, like all the things.
Yeah.
Like, and then like I settled in a little bit and now like, now it's like, oh, more of all the things.
Right.
And it ebbs and flows.
Well, I mean, to practice on your own, then all of a sudden it's like you're practicing in a room where you're only allowed 6 inches of space.
Yeah. Well, and like, it might sound like...
Because it's busy. Like, every morning,
oh my
gosh, it's like...
It's so busy.
Yeah, so all of a sudden it's like you walk in, like, I think the first day you walked in like a deer in the headlights. You're like, all right, well, I'm here. You're like, where do you want me to put my mat down?
And like, I'm like, put my glasses back on so that I can see where I need to put my mat. Like. Yeah, and it's just crazy. And like practicing like in the room, this might sound like woo-woo or whatever, but like the distractions are different. Like, whereas the distractions at home, like you have your phone by your mat, or I just told myself, like, it's fine. Have your phone by your mat, or like you can like drink your coffee or like whatever. Here, like, you have like different energies surrounding you. Like,
right.
And it's, for me at least, like sometimes I'm like, stop It's like whoever's like next to me or diagonal to me, like, like, what are you doing? Like, you're messing up my
messing up my mojo.
Right. So yeah, and like, I mean, I think I'm getting into like a better flow. It's been like 2 months now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a short period of time, you become a big part of our community, and it's like, you know, there's so many new faces here, like, you know, it's pretty common for people to come and for people to go. And there's a lot of people that don't practice with us that, you know, might be practicing at home now or whatever. But like, you know, there's just a bunch of new faces and you're one of them. And it's like really cool because the energy of this place is really dictated by the people that are in it. And man, it feels so freaking amazing right now.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It feels amazing. I mean, this place feels like, you said the word, but I'm going to use it. I mean, it feels holy, or there feels like this place has like is an entity of its own.
Yeah, you know? It's like it buzzes in like the best kind of way. Like I don't like it's so hard to describe it, and I wish that like I could, especially like just via like this episode. Like I don't know how to like just come practice.
Yeah,
like, just come.
Just come and feel it.
Like just stand in the lobby. Like just do that. Like it's gotta work the same way.
Right. Well, thanks for being brave, you know, so I appreciate you sharing your story, insight with the practice and all of that stuff. It's really inspiring to see someone like take a hold of the practice the way that you have and really take control of their lives and dedicate it to, you know, something bigger or more or any of that stuff. So it's really inspiring. And I appreciate you obviously being here every day and like being a part of the community and really being like, you know, a person that, you know, is part of the new faces.
Yeah, I'm excited to like call this place home. Yeah. It's really exciting.
Yeah, well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time. Thank you.